This week on Hey Sis, Eat This, we're diving into the fascinating world of celebrity chef Gina Clark from Malibu Seaside Chef. This culinary powerhouse shares it all from leaving home at 16 to pursue modeling to her rise as one of Los Angeles' most sought-after private chefs. Gina dishes on her experiences cooking for celebrities like U2, Jason Momoa, and Barbra Streisand, and we discover her key ingredients are passion, perseverance, and anything from a good old farmer's market. Love you, love your show.
Grab your fork and grab your knife. Morning, afternoon, and night. Mama's recipe in mind. We're about to have a good time. Hey, sis, eat this. Hey, sis.
Eat this. Woohoo! Yep. Hey, sis.
Hey, sis. You made it back home safely.
I did. Oh my gosh, that feels like a lifetime ago that I was in LA.
I know. Well, you were here a while, long time.
Yes. Yes, we were. And then we just hit the ground running from there. We had an Easter celebration on Sunday.
Ooh, what'd you cook?
Well, Janty and Donkel hosted.
Do you want to explain to our audience who Janty and Donkel are? Because I'm not sure, you know.
Sure.
If you're just tuning in for the first time.
Yes, that is our aunt and uncle from Dwight, our stepdad, who is married to our mother, Mama Ashley. Donkel is Don, but we've nicknamed him Donkel. And his,
like uncle,
that's his brother.
Like Uncle and Don combined. Whitney likes a good nickname.
Well, it originated because Janty is called, her name is Jan, and then Auntie, so Janty. Mm-hmm. And she's always been called that by other nieces and nephews before we came on board. Mm-hmm. And then I just nicknamed Don Dunkle.
I think it really works. It's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I made Southern Living's squash casserole. It was delish. Total panty dropper.
Mm. Now, is that like... So when we were little kids, we used to go to, I'm explaining this to the listeners, but we used to go to this place called the Highland Park Cafeteria. It was like a once a week thing when mom didn't want to cook. And it was a real cafeteria and you'd get in the line.
Yes.
And I remember like standing in line because there was always a line because everybody went, all the presidents, every portrait of the presidents was lined up along the line. Do you remember that?
Absolutely.
You would go through the line, and the one thing I always remember getting was this squash casserole, and it came in a tiny little, one of those tiny little plastic bowls that they do at the cafeteria.
Meat and 30.
And it was so good. And that was really my intro to squash casserole.
Okay.
Yeah. Which means there'd be like a breadcrumb mixture on top.
It's a Ritz cracker.
Ooh.
How bad can that be?
No, not bad at all.
No, it was really good. Really tasty. And then what else do we have? Mom made Father Tim's potatoes.
Excuse me? Father Tim?
As in, yes.
As in like a Catholic father? We're not even Catholic.
I have no idea.
Who's Father Tim?
I don't know. I don't know. And we're going to have to get to the bottom of it. But damn, he makes some real good potatoes.
Father Tim. Yeah. I mean, maybe they're infused by the spirit of the Lord or something.
They're used with holy water.
Yeah.
Holy cream.
Yeah.
It did have a ton of cream, but it was good. I made a pitcher of Bloody Marys, Jesus Bloody Marys for everybody.
Mm. Did they go down? Did people drink them?
They were really good. So I did use Zing Zang. Have you ever used Zing Zang before?
Oh, cop out.
It's like a Bloody Mary mix brand. I know, but then I added everything to it.
Okay.
But then it was like real salty. And I was like,
mm-hmm. You got to stick with the V8 as the base.
I know.
Think. Yeah.
I really do. But that's what I had.
And then for me, it makes me feel like I'm drinking something healthy. Like I'm actually, you know what I mean? Like I'm getting a serving of vegetables in.
Yeah. Yeah. But there was no complaints. I warned everybody that it might be salty, but no complaints.
Yeah.
So. That was that. What's happening in bat mitzvah world? The countdown is on.
Oh my God. It is on. It's like every minute of my day, I'm talking to the photographer, the DJ, the whole thing. I tried to tell the DJ what I wanted yesterday and he was like, ma'am, basically we've got this under control. Like I was like, all right, we want to start it off with this song. And he's like, yeah, the grandparents aren't going to like that one. I'm like, this is not for the grandparents. This is for the kids, you know?
Right. I just request no like Earth, Wind, Fire.
I know.
I don't want.
Yeah. I told them keep it for the kids. I said, current. Keep it current. I don't want any of the old people music. I just want it because I want the kids out on the dance floor. He said, I copy you. And I said, but you know, Taylor Swift, Harry Styles, those sort of things, very good in my book, personally. I like that. I know the kids want a little more, you know, Drake and shall we say, I don't know, Travis Scott, the kind of rappers, which that's sure. When we leave the dance floor. But he says, we know what to do. And they do a little kids segment and then a little adult segment, kids, adults, kind of to spread it out so everybody gets a chance on the dance floor. Because Reagan told me, I'm not allowed to have a dance floor takeover, nor am I allowed to get up on the stage. So I've had, I know.
I mean, I can't guarantee that.
Yeah. You can't guarantee that for me or that you aren't going to get up on the stage.
All
or
of
both.
The above.
I know. Well.
You know, if they start playing Tina, I can't. You know?
I know. I almost said to play Proud Mary, but then I thought, you know what? This day is not about me. It's not about you. It's about Reagan. And so we need to honor that. And
yes, very, very true.
So yeah, we're knee deep in that.
Yeah.
So anyway, but all of those things are in good standing. The only thing I think that's outstanding in the to-do mm-hmm. list would be mom's dress because,
oh my God.
I get about, 10 to 15 pictures a day of different dresses that she is when, is this cute? Is this cute? Is this cute? Yesterday, she sent me a picture of dresses from her computer. Like she took a picture of her computer screen. And so like the pixelation, I like couldn't even see it. I was like, well, I mean, it looks cute, but I don't know, you know, it's too hard to tell. And by the way, like this has been going on for over a month. Like it's next weekend. Like she needs to get that dress because she's gonna have to get that tailored and stuff. I'm sure, you know, she's really holding off.
That's what I was like. If you don't have it by now, I think you need to dip into the closet, mama.
Yeah. You might be wearing what you wore to Whitney's wedding
which was beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. So I'm not sure what mom's going to be wearing, but I've got all my outfits taken care of.
Same.
You know, I'm in a good place. But yeah, Mama Ashley, get your act together.
So funny you said that. I was just about to ask you, are you getting pictures of the screen? Because she doesn't know how to screenshot on her phone. And that's what I've been getting too. And been making me laugh so hard.
Yeah. So I really don't feel like I can honestly weigh in on how cute the dress is when it's taken from a picture of the computer on the computer.
Right.
But if you send, she doesn't know how to send links either. You can't, she can't
oh, yeah.
send a link. Right. Mm-mm. But she sure knows how to send Instagram links. My God, we get a lot of those every day. She's got that down pat.
What do you get individually? Because mine are all horse related.
I get like, mother daughter things, how much she loves me and stuff.
Huh.
I'm just kidding.
You're my favorite. Don't tell your sister.
Right. No, it's more like, I don't know, like spiritual stuff, you know, because she knows I'm kind of woo woo. And so there's that kind of thing. And then there's like, there really have been like a little, like, they're more like joking, like knowing that I have like teenage daughters or on the precipice of teenage daughters. They're like frustrated moms memes, like funny mom memes is really what it is, of like pissed off moms at their teenagers. So that's
I want in on those. Those make me laugh too.
Yeah, I know. So that's part of the rotation.
That's funny.
And then you and I get the recipes on the group chat.
Mm-hmm. Or decor and entertainment, which I'm super thankful for.
Yeah, there's some cool flower thing she just sent me that looked good. That's like you make flowers with food. I don't know, but
maybe we need to put something on Instagram that's a collection of all the stuff she sent us that we like.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if we can do that. Make a little folder if you want to see Mama Ashley's curated food and
start a
beverage and entertaining. Yeah, we could do that. We could start a Mama Ashley Pinterest because they're actually really good things. And she does a lot of research for us. And we've actually made things that she sent us. So, you know, I'm not knocking it at all. I think that...
I love it. Keep it coming, Mama Ashley. Well, I have a funny story that I want to tell the audience that happened at our podcast movement conference last week. You know, we do this together because we're besties and we love each other and we want to celebrate sibling relationships. And before we started this podcast, we would just call each other to shoot the shit.
Yeah. But
now it's just always podcast. So I said to Courtney last week, I said, hey, you know what? Maybe this week we should look at some dates on when we could go away, just like the two of us, you know, just like a two-nighter or something. And Court's like, for the podcast? I said, no, just like you and me, like hanging out. And she goes, maybe.
Well, my thought process was, not that I don't want to just hang out with you and do nothing, but I just feel like we always have so much to do. And we've been talking about doing like a retreat where we can get away and be away from our significant others and my children and just work on the podcast like 24/7 for a couple of days and like bang out a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I thought you meant. And then I thought, well, you know, if we're really not going to do anything but just shoot the shit, then I don't know if I feel like that's the best use of our time. But but you're right. We do need to not. We're like a married couple. We need to
that's
make
exactly
time.
What I was going to say. We need to connect again, Courtney.
Yeah, we need to reconnect. Make sure we're keeping it fresh and
it was so funny though because Lance came over and I told him what you said, and then he's like, Whitney. After the bar mitzvah, address this.
Bat mitzvah, I know. Right. I'm not making any plans until after the bat mitzvah. But yes.
Exactly.
That's funny. I didn't mean to have that kind of reaction. I do want to go away with you.
Anyway, it made me laugh really hard. So
that's funny. It's funny. But speaking of the podcast movement conference, which was really great for us, I think we always learn a lot when we're there and meet a lot of cool other podcasters and stuff. But it made me think a lot. It made us think a lot about how appreciative we are of our audience and the people in our community that follow us and listen to us every week. And just really so touching and means the world to us that you join us here every week because we just love doing it and it's our greatest joy. And
we want to keep doing it.
Yeah, we want to keep doing it. So here's our cry to all of you listeners out there. If you would really just please share an episode with someone that you think might like it. Maybe it's your favorite episode. Maybe it's just this one. I don't know. Share the show. Like, we just want to keep building our audience and our community because it just makes it more fun and robust. And we want to keep doing this. So please, if you feel inclined, do share.
It's also really important to go and subscribe on Spotify, Apple, iHeart, wherever you listen to us. Make sure you subscribe. You could rate us. So we appreciate all of you and spread the good word, please, because we want to keep doing this forever.
Yeah, and we can keep bringing you really cool guests like our next guest, Chef Gina Clark, who is so interesting. And I cannot wait for you guys to hear this interview.
Yes, she's so fun.
Mm-hmm.
So fun.
She is a beautiful on the inside and out and has really created such an incredible business. She's a celebrity chef, the owner and founder of Malibu Seaside Chef. And she has cooked for pretty much every A-list celebrity you can think of and continues to do so.
And she talks a little bit about it, too.
She does.
She kind of spills a little bit.
She spills a little bit.
I like it.
And she shares recipes. And she's just, it's a really cool story.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it then. Hey, sis.
Hey, sis.
Today, we are joined by a private chef, a TV personality, and the founder of Malibu Seaside Chef, Gina Clark. Gina has been featured in Los Angeles Times, Malibu Magazine, and Huffington Post, and she's currently in the process of producing a reality show based on her very busy life as a celebrity chef, and most importantly, she's a mom to her daughter and wife to her husband. Welcome, Gina, to Hey Sis, Eat This.
Thank you so much, ladies.
So nice to have you here. We're so excited. I recently had the pleasure of working with Gina when one of my very best friends in the whole world, very VIP client, was turning 40. And I was going to make the whole dinner myself because, you know, as I do think that I'm, you know, the end all be all chef. She said, no, absolutely not. I want you to be part of the party. And I said, okay, well, I hosted at my house regardless. And she brought Gina to me and she's like, I found this woman. She's amazing, blah, blah, blah. And then when you and I met, it was like kismet. We're like, oh my God. And you know, so I'm so excited. And also I must say that the meal, I texted you the next day, the meal, the service, the whole process of everything you do was the best private chef experience I've ever had. And the food was incredible and so memorable. Welcome. And I'm so glad to have you here to share with us today.
I love being here with you ladies, you Texans.
Gina, tell our listeners a little bit about your company, Malibu Seaside Chef.
So it's been about 28 years that I've created Malibu Seaside Chef from the ground up. I started with Wolfgang Puck working at Granita in the back of the kitchen. I was like, this is not for me. So he started catering and I was on his catering team and we were catering the Kardashians Christmas party. And I was like, this feels way more my style.
Right. I can only imagine the pressure of catering the Kardashians Christmas party.
Honestly, there's a lot of pressure in catering, timing. I mean, I go psycho when the food's coming out because it's all the integrity of all this hard work that you've put together. And like cold food to me is just a nightmare. Mm-hmm. And so my chef and I, my assistant and I, we like to fight a lot. We're like a married couple.
Is that sweet guy that...
Brian, yeah.
Oh, I love him.
He's so fucking funny.
He's very profesh.
I actually like take him on my trips with me. Because he's family. Yes. He makes me look good too.
Yeah. He was really great. He got in there. He had his music on. I was like, you know, I'm a busybody in the kitchen. So basically he looked at me and I'm like, all right, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
That's our worst nightmare. We're like, get the fuck out of the kitchen.
Right.
I was trying to put a cheese plate together. He's like, I can do that for you. I'm like, no, it's okay. Like, I didn't want to, you know, and he's like,
We're like those people. We don't want anyone in our kitchen. When we get there, we clear everyone out.
Right.
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 Well, I want to kind of take it back to the beginning. I know that you grew up in San Luis Obispo. I've heard you in other interviews say that they have the best farmer's market in the country.
It's the number one farmer's market and the largest in California.
Oh, wow. Really?
They close down the whole street on Thursday nights at 5 o'clock and it's all the vendors and all the farmers come out from all over Santa Maria, Paso, everywhere with the most beautiful produce you've ever seen in your life.
So have you been going there since you were a child?
I have.
With your family?
Yep. And I've been dancing, you know, because I was a dancer my whole life. Mm-hmm. Downtown Thursday night, there's performers, there's vendors, there's jewelry makers. Oh. There is like everything and all the bars are opened and it's the perfect time to go and shop for your produce.
Mm-hmm. It's an event.
And some jewelry.
It is. It's an event. My daughter loves it. There's a bouncy house. I'm like, yes.
Entertainment. I love it. Mm-hmm. So what were some of the items that your family would get when you were younger? Was there a lot of cooking going on in your house?
There was. I'm one of five. So I have five brothers. My mom remarried our next door neighbor. We didn't move five houses down. We moved into the house next door.
Oh my gosh.
We always wondered why the grass was brown from the gate to the houses. Well, they were having a major affair.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. So we moved in next door and they had three kids and we had three kids and we were like the Brady Bunch.
Oh, that's wild. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What age were you?
I was first grade.
Oh, wow. So that was, you were young.
I was young.
Traumatizing or was it kind of cool because you're like moving in with your next door neighbors?
I know. It was kind of cool because I knew my whole life and it wasn't like, you know.
Yeah.
It was weird too.
Yeah. Right.
But I love those kids. We always played with them. So, and now they're divorced, those two. But my brothers will be my brothers for the rest of my life.
Yes.
I love them so much.
I mean, can you imagine Bomb having an affair with Rusty from next door?
Well, he did come to our Halloween party as a flasher that year, so
he was putting out the vibe.
Your mom wasn't taking the bait, though.
No. So you move in with the neighbors. Who's doing all the cooking? Your mom?
Yeah. She said she cooked 3 different meals for the kids. I don't remember her doing that.
Oh my gosh.
Because everyone was so picky.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Courtney cooks about 2 or 3.
I'm a short order cook. But did everybody come together around the dinner table?
We did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They put us in front of the TV a lot. I remember watching Skinamax.
At dinner time?
Whatever. I mean, he was a dentist. My mom would come home. Every day he'd come home for lunch. My mom would make him a lunch and they would lock us out of the door. And they had a great relationship.
Clearly.
Yeah. So I was like every day at lunch.
Oh my gosh.
They watched all my children.
Oh, we watched that too. That was a regular.
We were days of our lives.
And, oh, you're right.
And no. they drink Tab.
Actually, Dad was all my children when he would come home for lunch. And then Mom was days of our lives.
That was before
and
my
then
time.
I think Dad stopped watching. But are there any memorable dishes that stand out in your mind that your mom made?
I'm now seeing, having her cooking, she's the worst cook ever. I'm like, Mom, your stuff doesn't turn out. I don't know. It just, she's not a good cook.
So she wasn't your inspiration, shall we say?
No.
Got it.
My dad cooked more.
Yeah.
We would like, we're real meat eaters, I guess. Because also growing up in the Central Coast, you know, we're known for our meat up there, cattle and lots of good sourcing from the best, you know, farms.
You really are in the hub of all the farm to table world.
I really am. Mm-hmm. And I so appreciate it. Like I kind of get a boner for a farmer's market.
Yeah.
I really do. I love to look at produce. I just love to see it. I like to look at it, feel it.
I do too. And I love the community of it. So there's a farmer's market on Sunday mornings.
You think I don't know?
Well, that's right.
But I drive to 2.
Sometimes my girls will go with me. Sometimes one or the other. I have my big pink, bright pink basket. I walk up there. It is literally, I get the biggest boner too. And I see what's fresh. I don't even go with an agenda. I just grab everything. Yeah. And then $500 later, I'm home. And then my routine is I put on music and I wash everything and I lay it out. And it literally looks like an Instagram ad. I mean, it's so awesome to have all this fresh produce and to get your hands in it. And I feel so grateful.
Yeah.
It's so natural and beautiful to just play with all of that produce and everything.
It's so true. And Sundays are like my days because I run to this farmer's market and then I go to church at Our Lady of Malibu and then I go to the Malibu farmer's market because there's different things at each one of those.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, we should meet up. I'd love to see what you buy over here and introduce me to some of your...
I was buying all these mushrooms. Actually, I just got to cook last week for my man crush, Jason Momoa.
I want to hear that.
The mushrooms were for him, but they weren't magic.
I was going to say, were they magic mushrooms? He looks like he would do a couple magic mushrooms.
He would, and I would do them with him.
Me too. I would too. I'd be right up there with Momoa and those mushrooms.
Momoa mushroom party.
Magic mushrooms Momoa party.
Perfect.
Yes. Gina, you have been a professional model for 30 years as well. You've graced the covers of Cosmopolitan and Shape magazine. And there's such a stigma in the modeling industry that you have to be skinny. So what was your, I mean, you are skinny, but what was your relationship like with food in the height of your modeling days?
You know what? I am so blessed. Mm. Genetically, I'm so blessed. Honest to God, I hate to say it, but I've never had a weight issue in my life. Like I've always, my body, I've been known for my body. You know, I was the muse to the famous sculptor, Robert Graham.
Wow.
That sculpture in Venice Beach. Have you ever been Windward Circle?
Oh my God,
There's a sculpture. That's nude torso. That's me.
Really?
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm.
I'm the second largest collector of his art in the world because I did one very smart thing. I took all the art instead of money for modeling for him.
He's
known for the female form. So he did the FDR Roosevelt Memorial in Washington. He did the Duke Ellington with Gabrielle Reese holding up his piano in Central Park. He did the Joe Louis Boxing Arm in Detroit. He did the LA Coliseum, the sculptures above the LA Coliseum. So he found me through my modeling agency and I went to go meet
him. Like tears in my eyes. This is so cool.
And I was like, I don't want to be naked. But then I saw his work in Architectural Digest and I said, oh my God. He
took it off.
I took it all off. And guess what? Never one time was it inappropriate or
sexualized.
He looked at my bones and my tendons and the way they came together. It was so beautiful. It was such an artistic creativity release for me to work with him because I'm a creative person.
Yeah.
I work with the creative side of my brain in all ways.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So that was such an outlet for me creativity wise.
Yeah, that's incredible.
We did it together. Like he would put on jazz music and then I would dance and he would create these unbelievable sculptures. He would stand there next to me sculpting my pose. And that's probably why I have two hip replacements, because I was dancing on high heels for hours.
It was worth it. You have a great art collection and a statue in Venice of yourself. You know, I mean, how bad can that be?
What age were you when you started modeling?
I was 16. I went to Europe. My dad was a dentist, the next door neighbor. He was a dentist, and his patients said I should model, and I always wanted to. I watched Sports Illustrated swimsuit video over and over again.
You came up in that time of,
Of the beauties of the, you know,
the greats.
The greats. Mm-hmm. They still are the greatest, I think. No one compares to, you know, Cindy Crawford and you know, those times. Anyways, so then I went off to Germany when I was 16. I was so lonesome for my family. And I lived with a lady that didn't speak any English, but I got a lot of good jobs. And then the next year, I had tragedy in my life. My brother passed away, and I could not go back to our private Catholic school. There was only 33 people there. And I said, I'm gone, Mom. I'm going off to model. And I never finished high school. I just left and started modeling all over the world.
Wow. That's probably where your influence of food came in too, is traveling the world.
It did. I lived in the 6th district in Paris, and there was this market with hanging rabbits at the end of the street. Yeah. And my love for food was always, because I grew up, you know, around San Luis Obispo with the farmer's market and all the food. And I was always interested. So I always started taking cooking classes in every country I went.
Oh, wow. That's
Thailand, so Mexico, Italy. Yeah. I went to cooking school outside of Tuscany in Greve. Yes. One of the best times of my life outside of Florence. Partied all night, cooked all day.
You had such a mature side of yourself at that young age, to an ambition, I guess, to you're working as a model, you're having fun, you're partying, but then you're also cooking and training yourself. And you had this passion for food.
Always. I grew up with that passion for food. It was weird. It was in me.
Love that.
That's why I'll travel an hour to go.
You're very blessed.
Yes.
You know,
some great restaurant.
The universe has opened up so many cool avenues for you to learn how to be a better chef. Like, you've been able to travel the world, learn all about food.
And you can never know enough. You can never stop learning. I learned how to peel ginger from a 10-year-old kid.
In Thailand?
No, actually, it was at a party. He saw me cutting ginger, like the rind off. Mm-hmm. And he's like, let me teach you something. Grab a spoon and watch me.
That's how my husband does it too.
And I was like, you little shit.
I don't think I know that trick. I'm going to need to learn how to do that.
Yeah, it's so awesome. So you never stop learning is what I'm saying. I can learn from everyone. I'm sure I could go in your kitchen with you and you would teach me something I didn't know.
I'm going to teach you how to cook elk.
Yeah, you are. And eat it.
So you're modeling. And then at what point and at what age did you decide to transfer over to the culinary world?
So I was like, I need to figure out how I'm going to make this dream life without a man supporting me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you did. Good
Cheers.
For you. Cheers.
Cheers
here.
To that. Mm-hmm. I did. And I created it. And I was like, from the ground up. And it took a long time. It didn't just happen overnight. I had to, you know, find my clients, you know, go. And I used to do it by myself without servers, without bartenders. Mm-hmm. And like, think I could do it all.
Like our mom.
Yeah. It's just, it's impossible. Mm-hmm. Now I've got it all locked down.
You sure do.
Locked and loaded.
Yeah, you have got a team that is a force. That is for sure.
And the best part, I used to have two carts shopping because I would shop for two jobs at the same time. Do you know how much brain power that that takes?
Mm-hmm. And physical power too.
Totally.
Well, you were talking about Wolfgang earlier. So I know I've looked at your resume. You've trained with some of the best chefs around the world, but I want to know, what is something that Wolfgang taught you that you continue to do in your business and your cooking today?
Right. But you know what Wolfgang has? Star quality, star power, his personality. Yep. He goes up to each table. He connects with the guests. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest part about me, is I like to connect with people.
Yes.
I do.
You really do.
It's important.
I mean, I connected with you immediately.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're special.
thank you. But that's a really interesting point, because, you know, it has nothing to do with the technicality of his cooking or his ingredients or even the training of how he deals with his people. It's him as a person and the magic he brings.
I do have to say, though, if you haven't been to Xinhuan lately, you need to go.
I will. It's funny.
It's fucking phenomenal.
You know what? I used to go there back in the day in the 90s, right?
When Barbara, his wife, used to be at the front.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I had mentioned it to my husband recently. We should go
to Xinhua. The Shangri-La lobster, the beef rendang.
You know what? That's right up his alley, too.
Is it
on Main Street. Main Street, Santa Monica, right? Yeah.
It's all his sauces are so unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like this one sauce that I do, it's a whole bunch of mint, one whole bunch of cilantro, one lime, and sweet chili sauce. Mm. Let me tell you about this is the sauce of crack. It's crack.
And what do you put it on? Everything?
Lamb, steak, anything.
You've traveled so much for your career in modeling, from France to Italy to Germany, South Africa. What country do you feel like has influenced you the most with your cooking?
You know, I feel like probably Italy.
Yeah.
All you need are simple, good ingredients.
Exactly.
I was in Puglia with my husband, which is so incredible. And the crudo, the fish with a little lemon juice and olive oil with salt. I'm like, oh my God. Or this, just the tomatoes there. Mm-hmm. They taste so different.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that you can eat pizza and pasta all day and never get fat or bloated or feel bad. My arthritis doesn't flare up when I'm there.
I just don't
get it. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you think of a dish that you've had in Italy that changed your life?
Yes. And I'll tell you right now.
Yes. Please.
Because I was telling my husband today at breakfast. He's like, what dish? So in Italy with Giuliano Bujali, this unbelievable chef outside of Florence.
You trained with him, right?
I did. We did the most amazing things at this cooking school. If you ever get a chance or if he's still alive, you need to take this course. Okay. Anyways, we made this skewered Cornish game hen with sausage, with bread and herbs, all stuffed together on a stick that was roasting in a fire.
Like a rotisserie?
Like a rotisserie, like this, with white beans at the bottom, a whole tray of white beans.
Oh my God, and the fat dropped down to the beans?
Dropped down into the beans. You've never had a better, with the toasted bread, with the juice of the chicken in the sausage, with the herbs. Then the white beans was like lights out.
That sounds
so
fabulous.
He just stuffed everything on a skewer, the herbs, everything.
Yes.
Did he drizzle it with olive
then
oil on top?
Then we took out of the garden rosemary. Mm-hmm. We cut it, dipped it in the olive oil with garlic, and just basted this baby the whole time.
Used the rosemary as a baster.
Yeah, as a baster.
Yes.
With the garlic and the best olive oil ever.
That's
and just basted this thing.
I've ever heard.
It's unbelievable. It was a dream.
We have an attachment in our grill. That is
have that. Yes, that's it. You have it.
Yes, we do.
So
we've done chicken meat and it was amazing. And I really want to do gyro meat.
Oh, I love it.
Me too.
I'm like shawarma girl.
Yes. But now I'm coming home with this and I'm going to tell Lance about it. And we're going to recreate this. We're going to do the beans in the bottom of the grill.
Yes.
Well, you know, I'm laughing because of my rotisserie story.
Which one?
Well, I was hearing some shrieking. I thought a dead animal had died in my backyard or a dog was like maybe, you know, with a broken leg somewhere in the neighborhood screaming. And my husband had happened to be home. I'm like, Jason, can you please go outside and see there's a dead animal in the backyard? And he's searching around everywhere and he hears something. He's like, I think it's coming from the grill. And I was like, oh my God, there's like a dead animal in the grill. And I see him kind of like flick it up and jump back. And I somehow, maybe I'd had another too many martinis the night before, but I think when I turned off the grill, I accidentally turned the rotisserie on, but there was like no oil, nothing. And it was like the screeching of the rotisserie being on for like 24 hours. I was like a freaking dead animal. And I laughed so hard because... it was like a dead raccoon in my grill for some reason. Oh my God. So we've mentioned several times already, you've cooked for some of the biggest celebrities, Julia Roberts, Barbara Streisand, Justin Bieber, the list goes on. If you think of the biggest celebrity, well, you were just telling me Jason Momoa. Oh my God. We all have the biggest crush on him. What did you cook for Jason Momoa? I want to know the menu.
Oh, it was appetizer party for his new launching of his new movie that he's commentating for, mining under the ocean, how it's bad for the environment, which I love that he always cares about the environment.
Yeah,
he knows he's from Hawaii, so he cares about the ocean, cares about nature. What was on the menu? He loved my butternut squash soup.
Mm.
Yep. And was vegan.
You just do like little cups of it?
Yeah. Little shooter glasses. Yeah.
Nice.
That's what my servers hate because they have to walk out like a balancing trick without getting the tip of the glass dirty and then blah, blah, blah. So then we did our tuna tartare tacos, like Nobu style, our baby tuna tartare tacos. And then we did, you know, of course, my signature, my lamb chops, which I can turn anyone who doesn't like lamb into.
Oh, good.
They're amazing. Brittany. No, but I did have hers in there.
Incredible. Okay.
Yeah.
And what else? We did shrimp cocktail shooters as well. You know, I always got to think when I'm doing a party of 50 or more, I got to think about vegans.
Yeah.
So a lot
especially
here. Exactly.
And do you find cooking for people in California? Whitney and I talk about this on the podcast all the time. every time I throw a party, I always, being a Texan, make plenty of like, I'll make like cornbread, or if I do the Jewish holiday, the bagels, and like the bread is just not touched here. Nobody eats frickin' bread.
Right. Well, you know, I had you two for 2 months and the trainer came up to me and said, no oil, no salt.
What?
I'm all, what are they going to eat? Cardboard?
Yeah. Yeah. And don't so they know I've that oil put, is good for you?
Exactly. So I olive oiled the shit out of everything and put a lot of salt to make everything taste good.
Right.
And I was there for 2 months. So yeah they were going
Bono
on tour.
Here's your-
So they were the nicest people you've ever cooked for ever. And aww. Adam, the bass player, he's all, Gina, tell me a little bit about yourself. I was like, oh, I was a model. I worked for a famous sculptor. He's like, who? I go, Robert Graham. He goes, oh my God, I've been collecting him since the 60s. Aww. I go, do you want to see my art collection? And he was like, yes. So he came over to my house.
Amazing.
And he bought a sculpture. And I retired my mom.
Oh my gosh.
My God.
Yeah. That's an incredible story.
She should thank me for the rest of my life.
So look what your food career has brought into your life. That's so interesting. Okay. Am I allowed to talk about how you dated Seal?
Sure.
Okay. Because I have had a crush on him like my entire life. Mm-hmm. And I saw him at a Starbucks in Beverly Hills and had one of those weird, like, I love you, as I walked past him.
Add him
to
the list.
I know. I always, if I see somebody that I really love or admire. Did you ever cook for Seal?
I did cook for Seal many times. Many times. And he loved to eat healthy. He loved my chicken soup. I make soup. Soup is so healing. Yeah. I'm a soup girl. Yeah, I give soup to everyone too when I make it.
Okay. You don't have to name the celebrity, of course, but can you share with us a story from working with someone famous that will make our jaws drop?
Well, I can tell you what was my most intimidating party.
Okay.
I walk in. Who is there? Let me tell you. Julia Roberts. Angelina Jolie.
Oh my gosh.
Barbra Streisand. Oh, wow. Josh Brolin. Coldplay.
Oh my God.
Dakota Fanning.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Who was Batman? No, Spider-Man.
Ben Affleck?
Spider-Man.
Oh, Tobey Maguire.
Tobey Maguire. I mean, the list went on. And then I feel like my chicken was too salty. I'd made fried chicken. They wanted fried chicken. But they hired me 2 more times. So I came back 2 more times. So I feel like it wasn't that salty.
Yeah.
But it was intimidating.
Well, they'd probably had so many cocktails by the time they had their fried chicken that they were just like excited to have something greasy and salty to absorb the alcohol. Up. Yeah.
We've had our fair share of kitchen conundrums, and they range from all sorts of things like
putting rotten milk into the mashed potatoes.
Yes. That happened recently. So tell us a time when you've had a huge kitchen conundrum during your career.
Well, because I work at all these unbelievable houses and Airbnbs, you never know if there's going to even be silverware there.
Oh my gosh.
I'd come in and do a huge party and there's 9 plates and there's 27 people.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, there's been so many. Oh, let me tell you one.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So I cooked for Brian, my assistant's most important person he could ever meet in his life, Dak Prescott. Do you know who he is?
Mm-mm. Yeah. Oh, the
Cowboys. Come on, ladies.
Oh, right. Sorry. I'm not
quarterback to the Cowboys. Yeah. So we're supposed to cook for him in Malibu. Mm-hmm. He gets to Malibu, doesn't like the house. So then he goes to the Pretty Woman Hotel.
Yeah.
That one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Reach Bevwell.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Reach Bevwell. And we get there. Fucking stove is induction.
Oh, no.
We have no induction fans.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
Then I knew it was going to be a bad day. The bellman. I am making this huge seafood platter, tower like Mastro's with the ice, the whole thing. Mm. The bellman breaks my $300 seafood tower.
Oh no!
On the way in.
Oh no!
Yeah.
Did you cry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I did. Glad. But then he was so stoned he didn't even know.
That's a conundrum.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Oh
That's
my gosh.
Hilarious. Courtney and I have lots of cookbooks, and I think we kind of both tend to go back to our favorites, whether it's Ina Garten or Giada, stuff like that. Do you have a cookbook that's just splattered with sauce and oil that you just continually go back to?
You know what? I do a lot of online looking at recipes.
Mm. Me too.
Yeah. So I love this chef, Donald Skehan. Do you guys know who he is?
No.
He's an Irish chef. No. He does a lot of Irish stews and like really comfort food. And I think I'm like into comfort food. I love it.
Gina, I keep going back in my mind to that filet you made with, I've never had this before at the dinner party at our house, the combination of filet with chimichurri and a red wine demi-glaze. Like, I'd never had that before. It's either one or the other. And the way you combined it was so incredible. I mean, I don't know if that's your signature dish. Is there something else that's your signature dish that just people ask about over and over for?
Over and over and over.
Yeah.
My miso black cod.
Oh. Ooh,
everyone dies for it. It's such a beautiful dish.
Okay.
So tell I can never put another protein on this plate because this plate is perfection. It's so gorgeous. Yeah. So what it is forbidden black rice. Do you guys know?
Yes, we were going to make it this week.
Okay, let me tell you how to do it.
Okay, because then we couldn't decide how we were going to prepare it, what we were going to do. And so, okay, tell us everything.
Okay, this is what you do. So you want to use stock. If there's no vegetarians, then use a chicken stock with it.
We don't hang out with vegetarians.
Yeah, exactly. And then I like coconut milk. Okay. So it's a nice twist on it. You do the stock and then you do have coconut milk and then you add a piece of ginger in there.
Mm. Instead of water, you're only...
And lemongrass. Lemongrass, ginger, forbidden black rice, coconut milk, and stock.
So all the liquid you're using to make the rice is just coconut milk and stock, no water.
No. Okay. And then don't salt it.
Oh.
Well, before.
Okay.
You got to salt it after because it takes up all the salt, swear to saying.
Yeah. Okay.
And then what?
Okay. Then I do the miso black cod with sake and mirin. Mm-hmm. And I reduce it down. You can do a yellow miso or a white miso. So then I marinate that with the green onions, the cod, for a couple hours.
Okay.
Then I take that and reduce that sauce down, the miso sauce, after you've cooked it. So you're going to flash it in the pan with olive oil, and then you are going to finish it in the oven. So you're going to give it color and then finish it in the oven. Then you place the forbidden black rice. You get these molds. We can do it in rectangle molds or round mold, however you want to do it. We usually do a rectangle mold. We smush down the coconut rice in the mold. Then we add the fish on top. And then we do a beautiful baby stir fry of every single veg, Japanese eggplant and ginger is in there and garlic, of course. And then peppers for color and squash, two
bok
different kinds.
Ever?
And shiitake mushrooms.
Oh, yeah.
Bok choy for sure. All that. And we chop it very small. And then we put that around the plate and in the middle is the cod with the black rice. So the colors, because you eat with your eyes, you know, the black rice with the white cod.
I just got another boner.
Right? I got boners all day.
That sounds unbelievable.
I got to show you a picture of it because it's really classy and sexy.
I love that you take all these tiny, is it like, do you like julienne the vegetables or kind of make
they're
them?
Huge. They're kind of chopped small because it makes it look beautiful on the plate. You know, everything has to be chopped the same size.
Yes. Oh, that's
Would you be willing to share that miso recipe?
Oh, yeah. And a picture because I'm that person that likes the cookbooks with the pictures.
Yes.
Well, I have made miso cod before and it was really, really delicious. But I think that recipe sounds better. So I can't wait to try that.
Yeah, you'll love it. So I want to tell you about that quinoa really quick.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So the quinoa that broke your back.
Yeah, the quinoa that broke my back. Yeah, I want to talk about it. Okay, so you do your typical quinoa with vegetable stock. You know, you make it. Then you cool it. Mm-hmm. Then you take every vegetable that you've ever dreamed of that you love and you grill it off on the grill. And you chop it really fine. You add it to your quinoa. You wake it up with every herb. Basil, mint, cilantro.
Parsley. Chives. Anything.
All of those for sure, especially parsley. Add all that. Add the zest of lemon, add blueberries, craisins, and all the veg with salt and pepper. Freaking
you're done.
Salad.
No oil? Because the oil from the vegetables.
You don't need any oil.
Wow. Hey.
It's a dream.
All right.
People are like, what is this?
Do you add feta or anything to it? No.
You can, but you can. so many vegans.
Oh, right, right, right. You can just do it.
That sounds wonderful.
I've been putting my cheese on the side of everything at parties lately because I'm so sick.
This doesn't happen in Texas, right, Whitney?
No. You don't have all those dietary restrictions. Yeah. People just eat.
People are nuts
Mama
here.
Ashley gets so pissed when she's catering something and there has to be something vegetarian.
Oh. Yeah.
She's like, I just don't even know what to do. This is just ridiculous.
That's exactly how I feel. I'm serious.
My cocktail's kicking in.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, we should mention.
We need to mention.
Your 9 a.m. cocktail?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Chef Gina, she's a very busy lady. So we're doing a very early morning Saturday interview. And Whitney and I thought, oh, my God, she's such an incredible chef. We got to make something for her. It's like a breakfast interview.
Yes.
So we took from Nancy Silverton's new baking book, we made a coffee cake and it turned out delicious. And then Gina waltzes in with her. Tell us about this signature cocktail.
So this is called the Gina Rita. They have it actually at Nobu in Malibu, and it is named after me and everyone knows it, but the bartenders get mad when they make it because they actually have to squeeze the lime at the moment because I'm so picky.
Yeah.
That now I just tell other bartenders, give me 10 limes on the side because honestly, I know they don't want to squeeze the lime and they're, you know, they're lazy.
Yeah.
So anyways,
they need a lime juicer. Come on, guys.
I know. Get with the program here. I should carry it in my purse. Anyways, I brought over fresh passion fruit picked from the tree this morning of my girlfriend, Susie Chambers, who I love from Texas. She's from Dallas. Oh, and it was from her tree.
The Texas love.
Mm-hmm. And then you. The ruby red grapefruits. It has to be ruby red. Mm-hmm. It can't just be a pink grapefruit. Have total different flavors.
Yeah, I agree.
And it has to be in a thin glass, like I told my ladies here.
I think we're going to have to put this recipe up on our site to add to our... We have a few of our cocktails. Whitney and I have our Dirty Sis signature martini. We have our Bloody Mary, but we're going to need to...
Our
family margarita, but we're going to need the Gina-rita up there for sure. I mean, this is so good. It's going down so nice.
And a very important key part of this is the tequila I use. This is La Gorgona. It's a woman-owned Mexican tequila company with no additives. That's why I love this tequila and carry it in my purse because there's no additives in it. And I don't want to have additives.
No.
I want to drink like tequila from the agave and know that it's not got shit in it.
Yeah, right. Pure.
I want to take that sort of theme of honoring other women business owners. And you just said that you catered a large event for 60 women CEOs. That's so cool. Tell us about it.
And this woman, Peyton, she was so amazing. She was talking about, I was listening in a little bit because I was really busy working.
Yeah.
And I was setting it up all by myself. And that's how I threw out my back. But she was talking about women's intuition. Mm. And you know what? Intuition really does play a key role in business.
Yeah.
You know, and I think women, we have this innate sense in us. And that's why we're mothers and stuff. Because
multitaskers.
Yep. Yep. My husband can only do one thing. I can do 20 things and stand on my head and pat my stomach and rub my tummy. Yes. You know what I mean? So intuition plays a key role. And I think also in my business, I love people. So I may not be the best chef, but what I do bring is an experience. I bring a fine dining experience. I will set the lighting. I'll change the music. I will make sure that the guests are there to enjoy themselves. Right. And that's why you hire a chef.
It's so far beyond just the food.
It is. It's the experience. Yes. It's the passion into it. It's the love I put into it. I mean, I don't sleep at night. Sometimes I'm so wound up after cooking, trying to make everything perfect, timing and everything. I feel like, how does Michael Jackson sleep? Proferol.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
I'm just a chef and he was like a huge celebrity and coming off a high off of pleasing people.
Right.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It is.
Well, that leads me to my next question. We are very big into self-care, the two of us. And so after you have cooked all of these meals and you've devoted so much time and energy, what do you do for yourself?
Yeah, because you're always giving to others.
I know. And you know what? That lady, the CEO who ran it, she was like, it's called good girl syndrome. You're always trying to please people. Yes. And I'm a major people pleaser. I always will give the best seat to someone. I'll give them my best fruit or whatever because I'm a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I like to people please though. Mm-hmm. I think it's part of me. So that's why I think my job's perfect for me because I'm pleasing all the time.
Right. So what do you do to take care of yourself?
So I work out. You know, I love to work out. Yes. I have to have my workouts. That's my major thing. And I'm a horsewoman.
Me too. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Kindred spirits.
Yep.
And do you write English or Western?
I do. I write everything.
Me too.
English, Western. Me too. I was riding with 50 beagles in Malibu. 50 dogs. I knew the names of each of the dogs.
Oh my gosh.
Fox hunting. But coyotes in California.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But God puts horses in my life and all ways. And now I just found my new ranch that I'm going to ride at in San Luis Obispo. So
amazing.
Yeah. So I'll ride anything. I grew up riding my horse with a pad by myself at 9 years old back in the mountains. I mean, I would never let my daughter do that.
I know.
Without a helmet.
Oh gosh. Oh yeah. No, I have a vest.
You're smart. Yep. I don't even have the vest. I'm going to get the airbag vest. I know.
Honestly, because I've fallen off so many times. Yeah. And my last fall, I thought I broke ribs. And it was so bad and it took me so long to recover from it. And my husband was like, you're not getting back on a horse until you get that vest.
I'm going to get that vest.
I agree.
See, that's why God put me here today. Get that vest.
Yes.
He just told me because I wear the helmet. And
honestly.
I'm going to get the
God
vest.
God put you here for a lot of reasons today.
Yes.
You're so inspiring.
Yeah.
You girls are awesome, by the way. And thank fun. You. You guys are like my girlfriends.
I know.
I knew it when I met you.
I know. I love it too. So you cook during the day, but do you go home and cook at night for your family?
To the complaining man who says he's getting fat. I'm all, they I all love do. To cook
yeah.
and I do love to cook for him and he loves my food. And he's all, why don't we just eat at home? Your food's so much better than anywhere
right.
else. And it really is, unfortunately, especially in San Luis because it's such a small town.
Yeah.
I can, you know, that's how I'm the only problem about San Luis is for me having places to go eat because that's yeah. my favorite thing to do. Oh, I didn't tell you.
To go out to dinner?
I'm a lady who lunches.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, we are
okay.
too.
And guess what? Yeah. I don't need anyone to lunch with. I love lunching with people, but no one has my schedule.
Yeah.
So I go by myself
I love
to
that.
Lunch. I sit there. I relax.
That's it's kind of like
time.
A meditation in and of itself.
Oh,
and
it
self-care.
Is. It
I
is
mean,
self-care.
My goodness. Yeah.
And that CEO, by the way, she gives 3 hours of her day to herself. She, I've got, you guys got to follow her. She's
okay.
amazing. She's inspiring.
Will.
You got to have her on.
I will.
3 hours self-care.
Wow.
And she has two
really
kids.
I'm about, I do like an hour of yoga and I try to do 30 to 45 minutes of meditation, but I think I can add on to that. I'm going to find a time to do that somehow.
I don't have kids, so I can definitely do that.
Yeah.
You're an auntie.
Yeah,
exactly. It's the best.
What's your favorite dish to make for your daughter?
Pizza. My daughter and I cook together all the time. She loves to cook. I call her baby chef.
Oh,
she cooks cute. With me. Everything we do, we cook so much together. I mean, we make pizzas, we make banana bread, we're always cooking. She's always
That's
helping
sweet.
Me.
My younger daughter cooks with me all the time. She loves it. And we have a game we play. I don't know if you watch The Bear, the show The Bear, where they're like, yes, chef. You know, everybody's yes, chef. So we get in there together and I'm actually her sous chef when we play this game and she bosses me around, but it's a blast. I love teaching her how to cook. It's so much fun. We're going to move into our rapid fire questions. Gina, are you ready?
I'm ready.
We've talked a lot about you traveling around the world. So I'm going to ask you a few countries. I want you to tell me what your favorite dish was or your favorite dishes in each country. Amsterdam.
Wow. Marijuana brownies.
Yes.
I knew we were close.
God, after some of those, I ended up in an alley vomiting
yeah.
after the, yeah.
I can't eat it. Mm-hmm. I can only smoke it.
Yeah.
I used to be a big stoner. Don't really smoke at all anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. But that space cake in Amsterdam, it's different from a pot brownie here in the US.
Yeah.
Sure.
Totally. Way too strong.
South Africa.
Probably the chicken there that I had. I don't know what it was. It was just African seasonings that I've never had before in my life. Obviously, seal.
Germany.
Yeah. Oh, guy. Dumplings.
Ooh, what yeah. kind of dumplings?
Sausage and dumplings.
Oh, okay. Nice. Favorite kitchen tool?
Tongs.
Oh, yes. I love.
Yeah. I like the metal tongs. I don't like the little
ones with the silicone.
Plastic.
Yeah.
Can't stand.
Yeah. Are you a breakfast, lunch, or dinner kind of gal?
Don't care about breakfast. Don't even think about breakfast. Don't want breakfast.
Same.
I am a lunch girl.
Yeah.
Everything is about my lunch.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I'm a lunch every day. Keith's like, where are you, Nobu? I'm like, of course. Where
yeah.
else? Where
it's lunchtime.
Exactly.
There's been times where I've been to lunch at Nobu and it kind of rolls into dinner because I'm just right. like hanging out drinking there.
It's
by
hard
the,
to leave
It's
there.
Hard to
it's
leave
so
when
lovely.
You're looking at the ocean. It's just.
Do you know that I have a seat there? And I met my first con artist husband that I married 3 weeks later.
Oh my God.
He stole all my money, but I got some of it back. But then I met my husband there.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
In the same seat. They need to go to Nobu and sit in my seat.
Oh, gosh,
oh, it's a good
yes.
karma. It's good karma.
Most underrated ingredient.
Well, I need salt no matter what. I don't think that's underrated. You have to have salt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Salt, fat. You need, well, lemon. I guess mm-hmm. lemon.
Yeah.
Lemon adds life to everything.
I think this is a perfect last question mm-hmm. as I take a sip from my Gina Rita.
In your thin glass.
With the thin glass. Is this your signature favorite cocktail?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then that answers yes. the question. And in a thin glass, it's got to be served in a thin glass.
Do you say Riedel or Riedel?
Oh, I don't know. I never
say Riedel,
know.
But like Riedel High from Greece. I don't know.
Riedel.
It has to be Riedel.
It's got to be Riedel. Riedel. Gina, this has been such an incredible conversation. I feel like we've just scratched the surface because
yes.
I know you're full of just so many fun stories. Thank you so much for being here with us today. Where can our listeners find you?
MalibuSeaSideChef.com. Please come check me out over there. And hopefully soon my reality show, Malibu Seaside Chef, will be on the air.
And on Instagram, you're Malibu Seaside Chef, right?
I'm all around Malibu Seaside Chef.
That's right.
But now I'm working all up the coast of California. Mm-hmm. And some of my greatest clients take me on their vacations to everywhere they go. I just went to Cabo, an amazing villa. I just went to Italy, but I didn't have to cook at that one. But they were some of my
favorites. If you need any sous chefs, we're available.
Yeah, perfect. Say, yeah, I'll take you too.
We know how to chop. We know how to chop.
I mean, I'm definitely flexible and can come. Too.
I'm not that flexible, but I'll find a way. Let's give a cheers because tomorrow's your birthday. Happy birthday, lady. You are special.
Cheers.
Thank you for being with us today. We'll end it as we always do. Wit, love you, love your show.
Love you, love your show, Court.
Thank you so much for listening to Hey Sis, Eat This. If you LOL'd, peed your pants a little bit, or even smirked, please hit subscribe and feel free to rate and review, but only if it's positive.
Also, visit our website for recipes and to sign up for our newsletter at HeySisEatThis.com. And don't forget to call into the Hey Sis hotline at 866-4-HEY-SIS with funny mama stories or kitchen conundrums of your own.